This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll start off this week with Philip Morris Playhouse in Leona's Room, their story from February 25th, 1949. After that, it's Columbia Workshop in Murder in Studio One, their story from October 12th, 1941.
Johnny presents the Philip Morris Playhouse, produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Tonight's star, Vincent Price. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to wake up fresh with no cigarette hangover. Yes, you'll be glad tomorrow you smoke Philip Morris today.
Call for Philip Morris!
And now, with Vincent Price as star, we bring you Leona's Room. Tonight's production in the Philip Morris Playhouse.
Leona was laughing. For me, there was no joy in it anymore. Her room had suddenly become exactly what it was. Two flights up and walk back, a cubicle in a cheap rooming house. Four sides of naked plaster with a single electric light bulb strung from the ceiling and the frayed rug. The furniture with the patched upholstery and the rust-stained basin in the corner. And Leona. Leona with a drink in her hand. The room was a fine backdrop for Leona.
Oh, come on, honey. Drink your drink. You want Leona to fresh it up for you.
Forget it.
Oh, honey. Oh. Come on, make Leona laugh some more. That's why we're here, isn't it? For laughs?
Just for that. For a big time, the two of us. Yeah. Me and Leona, whatever your last name is, and let the rest of the world go by. I'm funny, huh? I'm a funny man.
I should have met you a long time ago instead of just tonight. Leona gets a big reaction from you, honey.
You got your last one, kid. I'm leaving.
Just like that. Leave. Leona remembers when you liked her, honey. Leona remembers when you
That was
said...
2 hours ago. You looked a lot better then.
Oh, that's great. That's the greatest one yet. The great Philip Dane and
How do you know my name?
Know your name, honey. Oh, your picture in the paper every day over that lousy scandal column that you write. You with your famous white carnation in your lapel. Sure, honey. I knew who you were all the time.
Yeah. So go dream your dream about how once Philip Dane was nice to you. Right now, that's all.
Wait. Wait a minute. Don't go yet.
Get out of my way.
Come on. Tell Leona you're sorry for what you said. I like you, honey.
Look, I've got no more time to play with you. Now let me out
Give
of this.
Give me a kiss. Give me a kiss, Phil. You'll see. Leona isn't what you said.
I said get out of my way.
Filth. That's what you are, Mr. Dane. You're filth. A two-bit cheapster. Thinks he gives a girl a moon with a smile and a couple of drinks. You write poison about other people and sneak up the side streets to have your... Sure. Sure. Hit me. That's what you're supposed to do. You and me. We're an item, aren't we? Both of us. Phil.
For a second, I stared where she had fallen. Motionless, her face all at once like scraped bone. I turned to go. But the afterimage of a lot of other faces stopped me. On my beat, I had seen a lot of dead faces, and hers matched. Her head lay against the lead piping of the wash basin. I watched a small red pearl squeeze through her lips, and then it died, too.
Fingerprints. I touched two things in that room, Leona and the highball glass. I smashed it on the floor and ground it with my heel. Now there was no possible connection between Leona and me. I had met her alone only 2 hours ago. Sometime soon, the police would look at her and write out a tag that said, dead on arrival. Maybe they would even find out what Leona's last name was. When I got outside, it was raining. That was a break because the rain had washed away the human rubbish that always littered that neighborhood, and there was no one to see me leave the house. The color bled out of the neon signs and smeared across the wet pavements, and I started walking. I remembered somewhere in this part of town there was a five-a-day vaudeville house that had hung on through the years like a broken-down acrobat left stranded on a high trapeze. I'd meant to cover it many times in my column for laughs. I figured tonight was as good as any. The gaiety, it looked real happy. I bought a ticket, went inside, and found a seat. I looked around at the audience, what there was of it. Farmers and juvenile delinquents was what I'd call them in the column. The billing card slipped into place for the next act. Malbrino and Maya, it said. The curtain went up. Malbrino stood with his back to the audience, his arms reaching out for Maya. I bent forward. She was something. Her eyes were enormous and gray and deep enough to drown.
There are those among you who will disbelieve what you are about to witness. I say to you only, wait. I will descend among you and walk down the aisle. And here I choose a gentleman and ask him for some small object whose description is known only to himself. Do you have such an object, sir?
Yeah. I got a good one. Here.
Thank you.
Yeah, they'll never get it.
Maya!
I listen, Malbrino.
What is it that I hold in my hand?
It is something that has come from far away. It is an envelope postmarked Paris, France.
Correct! Yeah. An envelope postmarked Paris, France. Maya!
Yes, Malbrino.
Thank you, madame. Reach into the spaces beyond space and tell me, what is this precious thing I hold in my hand?
It is a locket. And inside there is a strand of golden hair. A child.
Yes! Hey. Yes, it's my little boy's. Isn't that wonderful?
This that this gentleman has given to me.
Malbrino!
Do not lose your concentration, Maya. Identify this object.
Malbrino!
You must!
There is darkness here. Only darkness. He stands in the way.
Maya!
There is a murderer here. Huh? A murderer!
They rang down the curtain and I sat there. I glanced around at my fellow spectators. Some of the audience was laughing. Obviously, these were people who had written the thing off as a dramatic trick, but others were obviously affected by it. And I, you'll laugh. You'll say this was naive, superstitious, ridiculous, but I had to find out. I had to make sure. I waited until the house began to give attention to a song and dance act. There was a door to the left of the orchestra pit that led backstage. I slipped out of my seat and headed for it, as if it were my business. I walked down a corridor. There were cells on each side tagged with the performers' names. Maya's door had a star on it. The star was gilt, and it was peeling.
A moment.
Yes?
She was taller than I had thought, and slender. Her face was delicate with an almost wistful expression. But it was her eyes, gray and soft, as if the color had been strained through gauze.
Yes? What is it?
I came back to congratulate you on your performance, Maya. That's quite an act, big time.
Thank you. But it is not an act.
No? You're good, Maya. Very good. Why haven't I seen this act that isn't an act before?
Malbrino and Maya are from Europe. It is the first time we have been in this country.
How long have you been here?
Tonight was our first performance. It did not end as we had planned.
It couldn't have looked more rehearsed.
Believe what you like. Now, please excuse me. I am quite exhausted.
Don't run out on me. It makes me write bad notices.
Write what you like. It cannot concern Maya.
Why did you say there was a murderer in the theater?
I do not know why I say things. My lips speak the words that truth shapes for them. There was a murderer. I felt his presence.
Do you still feel it?
Yes.
Maya, taxi cab is waiting to take us to the hotel.
This is a newspaper man, Malbrino.
Oh, it's always a delight to meet a fellow professional. Wait for me in the taxi, Maya. I'll be only a moment. You saw the extraordinary performance, Mr.
Dane, Philip Dane.
Ah, Philip Dane.
Yeah.
Your column is known even in Europe. I'm overcome, Mr. Dane. It's an honor that you should be a convert of Maya's miraculous powers.
Now, Malbrino, we don't have to kid each other, do we? We, fellow professionals?
No. But others are perhaps not so perceptive as you. It is amusing to kid them. Also, one lives in this way.
Then that murderer bit was phony.
Let us say, an act such as ours needs one piece of sensationalism to shock a new audience. I think we have it. Do you agree?
You bought yourself a paragraph, Malvina. I like your style.
I'm delighted and grateful.
Tell Maya something for
me. Yes, Mr. Dane.
Tell her eyes are the most beautiful eyes I have ever seen.
She would be pleased, for she is blind.
I dropped in to catch Gypsy Rose Lee's late show at the Martinique. On the way back to my apartment, I picked up the early edition of the news. There was a five-line story spliced between the financial column and port arrivals. The police had answered a call from a nervous landlady. Leona Michaels was dead. The body had been turned over to the coroner, that was all. That was all there was ever going to be. I took a pill and got to sleep. Awoke a couple of times, hearing noises. Towards morning, I had a nightmare. I was standing in a big stone yard, and I was watching some men, some blind men, building a scaffold. They were hammering. And then I was awake. I jumped out of bed. Then I saw what the hammering had been. Nailed to my door, a shroud for a dead man, nailed to my door. With a funeral wreath of white carnations and pinned to one corner of the wreath a small white envelope. I pulled it down and opened it. I read the black-rimmed card inside. In memory of Philip Dane, it said, "Thou art cursed because thou hast killed."
You have heard Act One of Leona's Room, starring Vincent Price. In this brief intermission for a smoke in the Philip Morris Playhouse, here is Mr. John Holbrook with some important facts well worth remembering, well worth acting on.
Over 2 million more smokers have switched to Philip Morris.
Yes, over 2 million more smokers are now enjoying in Philip Morris a milder smoke. A cleaner, fresher smoke than they've ever known before.
If you're tired of cigarette hangover, that stale, musty, smoked-out taste in your mouth,
join the millions and switch to Philip Morris.
If you're tired of cigarette hangover, that tight, dry feeling in your throat,
join the millions and switch to Philip Morris.
Remember, Philip Morris is the one, the only cigarette proved definitely less irritating. Definitely milder than any other leading brand. No other cigarette can make that statement.
Remember, eminent doctors, top-ranking nose and throat specialists, actually suggest Philip Morris in cases of irritation due to smoking.
And above all, remember this. You'll be glad tomorrow You smoked Philip Morris today.
Now, Vincent Price in Act Two of Leona's Room. Tonight's production in the Philip Morris Playhouse.
Something for you, sir?
Yeah.
Just this morning, sir. Just arrived. Some fresh-cut camellias?
No flowers, a shroud. Talk to me about that.
Oh, my condolences, sir, of course. If you'll come this way.
A shroud that was delivered to 1256 Park Boulevard, Apartment 3, this morning from your shop.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember such an order. I hope it met with your requirements.
I'm crazy about it. Why was it nailed on my door?
Why? I don't understand.
I didn't order it. Who did?
Why, early this morning, sir. Early this morning, there was a special delivery letter. In it was an order for a shroud and a wreath with instructions as to their disposition.
Yeah, but who? Who wrote the order? Who gave the instructions?
I don't really know, sir. The note was typewritten, unsigned. I thought someone who desired to remain anonymous...
Tell your boy to tear that thing off my door.
But, sir...
It was too early in the day to drink, but I found myself at the Chatham Bar. If I expected to find an answer in the bottom of a shot glass, it wasn't there. It wasn't anywhere I could think of. Nobody could have known I was in Leona's room. Nobody. I told myself that, and I felt better. I went back to my apartment for the thousand little details a columnist has to do, the phone calls, the letters, that someone was waiting in front of my door.
I took the liberty. I knew you wanted to see me.
Who are you?
Take one. My card.
That's all right. I can see from right here. It's real pretty. What does it say on it?
John Quirty, Lily Pardon Cemetery.
I see. Now tell me, it was a newspaper man asked you to come around and see me, wasn't it?
You know, we at Lily Pond like to think...
Never mind that. What do you want?
In this hour of your greatest need, we of Lily Pond are...
Are you going to tell me what you want, or do I have to beat it out of you?
Why, sir, I am here to make the final arrangement for the funeral.
Funeral? What funeral? Nobody's dead. Nobody's even feeling bad. Look. See, I live here. I live all by myself. I feel great. I never felt better.
Sir, I'm confused about the casket.
Look, it's a joke, a gag, something the boys cooked up. That's it, isn't it? That's it, isn't it? Talk to me.
Please.
Who sent you?
A letter. A letter this morning with money and instructions.
Typewritten, no signature.
That's right. It said to come to this address and make arrangements to receive the body.
Whose? Whose body?
The letters said the body of Philip Dane. It said Philip Dane was about to die. It said he was going to be executed for murder.
All of a sudden, there were no more words. His jaws were moving, but there was no sound. He was out of focus, bleary. I ran past him and out into the street. The cab took 10 minutes to get me to Leona's rooming house. If someone in that house recognized me as a murderer, I would know it no matter how he tried to hide it. I would know it. Face him and take it from there. That was the...
Yeah, what is it? Well?
Have you ever seen me before?
What?
I mean it. Have you ever seen me before? Have I ever been here before?
Seen you? How do I know if I ever seen you? You're wearing a necktie, ain't you? You got a shave? That makes it 10-1 against. And a carnation yet. That makes it 100.
Please, please. It's just that I have a feeling that I've been here before. I've got to find out.
Hey. Hey, are you sick?
It happens like this lots of times. Amnesia, you know, the war. You sure you've never seen me?
Who knows, running this flea bag? They sign the register and they pay in advance. Hey, wait a minute. Haim! Haim, come here!
Who's that?
That's my husband. He snoops, and he's got a memory.
You calling me?
Yeah. What'd you say you had, mister?
Amnesia.
You got amnesia? Ah, it's interesting. Real interesting.
Gentleman wants to know if he ever saw him before. Says he's got to know.
No, never did.
How about your other guests? Could I see them?
Well, now I tell you. One of the roomers is sleeping off a 3-day drunk, and it'll take him 3 days to sleep it off. Another one I ain't seen for a week, and the third one's in a morgue. Moved there this morning, dead. That Leona always...
It's a gag, then.
Gag? What's a gag?
Never mind. Thanks, lady.
Mr.
right, all right. Yeah?
Hello, Mr. Dane. Mr. Philip Dane?
Yeah.
Mabrino speaking.
Mabrino?
Yes. Will you do me the honor to meet me at 11:30 tonight in the park? The reservoir will be charming.
Charm me over the phone, Mabrino. I don't like the cold night air.
It can be so helpful. Bring money with you. Say $5,000 for this first time. And come alone.
Have you gone crazy, Mabrino?
A murderer does not question another's sanity. To him, all other beings are insane. It's not so.
How would I know about murderers?
Ask Leona Michaels. Mm.
Leona? How did you find out about her?
You told me when you were so curious about a murderer after the performance. You told me when you permitted the grisly humors of the shroud and casket to force you to revisit the scene of death.
You've been following me.
Of course. Each of your flights of terror became more promising. When you entered the rooming house, I made inquiries. They told me of the lonely girl who had been murdered.
That was nice of them.
Wasn't it? I can expect you then at 11:30, Mr. Dane. That will give me time to change after my performance.
Sure. Sure. 11:30. I'll be glad to do you the honor, Mabrino. Now it was easier. Now I knew what to be afraid of. Mabrino, the clever Mabrino, whose wife Maya had pale, lovely, blind eyes. What an act they had. I wondered how many times their sensational finish had paid off like this. There's a murderer in this theater. And maybe he'll come backstage after the show and visit us.
Hey, wait a minute, Mac.
Huh?
Your ticket. Oh. They got a rule here. Everybody shows me a ticket.
Oh, the ticket, yeah, here.
Uh-huh. That's one aisle over, 10th row. You won't have no trouble finding it. You can hunt deer in here tonight.
Gosh, I wasn't kidding. There weren't 30 people in the house at the Gaiety. The opening act was on, a family of Armenian jugglers whirling shiny hoops on every loose piece of anatomy on the stage. Mabrino and Maya were next to closing, so I figured I had about an hour. I waited until the Armenians were balancing everything but the proscenium. And just as they were taking their bows, I used the same orchestra entrance to backstage. The door to Maya's dressing room was open, and the room was dark.
Hey, get the light out, baby, come on!
I eased inside just as the next act came hurrying down the corridor, still hooking up their costumes. I brushed against a moldy curtain hung from wooden rings. I pulled it back and hid behind it, and I waited.
Still, I cannot understand why you must leave me tonight, Mabrino. What is so important at 11:30?
Through the dim light of the corridor, I saw Maya walk into the room and sit at her dressing table. Mabrino was behind her. He was reaching for the light switch when my hands found his mouth and throat and began to strangle him. My fingers dug into his flesh. I crushed his breath back into his insides, and he made no sound. It was only the soft laughter that seeped through the theater and his soft throat in my hands, and then Maya's soft voice.
Why do you not answer, Mabrino? Is it a rendezvous? Mabrino? Mabrino, what is it? What is so silent? Mabrino? Mabrino!
Suddenly her fingers were on my face, furtive and quick as the wings of a frightened bird. Then slowly they began to search the empty air for the dead Mabrino. She turned and her blind eyes stared at me. I threw her aside and ran down the corridor. An old doorman was reading a newspaper at the stage door. I couldn't get out that way without his seeing me. There was only one way back. Back through the theater.
That's okay, lady. Why'd you have to hit me across the face with a dead fish?
I started up the aisle. Then I knew I was doing the wrong thing. There was an usher at the head of it in this tiny audience. If I left in the middle of an act, he would remember me. So I sat down in the row that was most filled. When I looked back, after the next act, there were men in overcoats standing at each exit. And then the curtain rose and Maya stood there with a
man I had never seen before.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I shall descend among you, accompanied by this gentleman, and read your minds through my fingertips. You, sir, I can read your innermost secrets by touching your face. So, sir, you told your wife you were working late at the office tonight. And you, sir, my fingers reveal that you came here on a pass.
Well, I have a freelance working.
Please. And now, there is a gentleman in this row wearing a carnation.
Hey, don't throw it away. What's the matter, Bud? You afraid I'll give away your secret?
Take your hands off of me.
Come on.
One side. Let go. Let me
out. Hey, get this guy, Joe. He's got secrets.
You got secrets, mister? Hey, Maya, there's a guy who's got secrets.
Shut up, you fool.
Hurry up, Maya. Oh, you can't wait.
They held me there laughing. The others turned in their seats to stare. The man with Maya took her arm and led her to me. Her fingers reached out, trailed across my face. They were cool and gentle. Almost a kiss.
This is the man. This is a murderer.
Tonight, the Philip Morris Playhouse presented Leona's Room, produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Our star, Vincent Price, will be back in a moment for a curtain call. In the meantime,
watch out. Watch out. Watch out for
cigarette hangover. That stale, musty, smoked-out taste in your mouth. Cigarette hangover. That tight, dry, uncomfortable feeling in your throat. Cigarette hangover. That's what takes the joy out of smoking. And when that happens to you, it's time to switch to Philip Morris. Remember, over 2 million more smokers have switched to Philip Morris. Yes, if you're tired of cigarette hangover, join the millions who have discovered in Philip Morris a milder smoke, a cleaner, fresher smoke than they've ever known before. Over 2 million more smokers have switched to Philip Morris. Remember, Philip Morris is the one, the only cigarette proved definitely less irritating, proved definitely milder than any other leading brand. No other cigarette can make that statement. Remember, top-ranking doctors, eminent nose and throat specialists, actually suggest Philip Morris in cases of irritation due to smoking. Above all, remember this. You'll be glad tomorrow you smoked Philip Morris today.
You know, Johnny, it's amazing to me how our hero tonight had time to write his column. What with all his extracurricular activities. And speaking of heroes, I understand Academy Award contender Dan Daly is to be your star next week.
That's right, Mr. Price. And we've informed Mr. Daly by special messenger that there will be no dancing come next Friday. He's to be the villain in the piece.
That sounds intriguing.
Before you go, Mr. Price, may I present you with this carton of Philip Morris cigarettes. And thank you for an exciting performance.
Thank you, Johnny.
Good night, Mr. Price. This is Johnny again, reminding you, if you're tired of cigarette hangover, call for the one cigarette that gives you a milder, fresher, cleaner smoke. Yes, call for Philip Morris!
And now, goodbye, Johnny. See you next Friday, same time, same station, when once again we will present the Philip Morris Playhouse, starring Dan Daly. Until then...
What a smooth smoke.
Revelation pipe tobacco.
So even burning.
Revelation pipe tobacco.
5 great tobaccos blended for smoothness, mildness, and flavor. Cut 5 different ways for even burning pleasure.
Revelation pipe tobacco. 15 cents for the pocket pack. Try some.
Vincent Price appeared through the courtesy of Universal International Studios, now releasing Family Honeymoon, starring Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray.
Tonight's original radio play was by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Music on the Philip Morris Playhouse is under the direction of Lud Gluskin. All names and characters used on this program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This is Art Ballinger saying goodnight for Philip Morris. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Now, just calm down. Just take it easy. You act as though something terrible has happened.
It is terrible. This is awful. This is the worst thing that ever happened in radio.
Well, don't get excited about it. It's a mere trifle. Where's the body?
Right over here. Oh, poor Van Crimson.
How long's he been dead?
I don't know. Only yesterday.
What's that paper he's got in his hand?
It looks like a piece of script to me.
Well, let me read it. Columbia Workshop presents... What's a Columbia Workshop?
Oh, bunch of fellas.
Columbia Workshop presents program number 2326 by Corwin. Who's Corwin?
Oh, he's a guy.
Presents a new mystery melodrama entitled Murder in Studio One, written and directed by Norman Corwin, starring distinguished actress, stage, radio, and screen, Ruth Gordon, the role of Cameo Klopp. Imagine Ruth Gordon as Cameo Klopp.
Who's Cameo Klopp?
That's me, you idiot. Haven't you ever heard of Inspector Cameo Klopp?
Well, no, you see, I'm just a maintenance man in the studio building.
Maintenance man or no maintenance man, don't you realize I'm the expert who solved the Purple Opal murder? And the Mimsy Bar Grove mystery and the strange case, the green fedora and the incident of the checkered pajamas?
Well, no, ma'am, I...
Well, I am, and to be perfectly frank, I shouldn't be fooling around with a small potato of a case like this.
Well, I should say hot potato, ma'am, considering who Van Crimps was. Oh, poor Van Crimps.
Who was Van Crimps?
Why, the most popular radio announcer in the country.
He was? I'll make a note of that. For heaven's sake, why isn't my secretary here to take notes? Where is everybody? Why am I always first on the scene of the crime, even before the coroner? Hereafter, I'm going to take more time. It's undignified for a detective famous as I to show up for anybody else. That's not the way they do it in the movies.
No, I agree is how it isn't, but poor Van Crimps, he was...
All I really want is to be left alone to finish my research on the lepidopterology of ancient Persia and play the horses. But no. Every fortnight or two, somebody turns up with a new mystery for me to unravel. It's ridiculous. I solved enough mysteries to start a radio series called Ellery Klopp. Yeah, and cases that Philo Crothers, Diblo Shapiro, Fubcon Moto, Guts are Baffled By... They were dizzier than moths in a lighthouse before I got through with them. It's a good thing I just...
Hey, boss, I've been looking all over for you. Big murder case just broke.
Yeah, it's about time you showed up. This Mr. Slope works around here. This is Minnie, my secretary, never works around anywhere.
Slope.
That's a big murder case you say just broke.
Guy named Van Crimp was found murdered in a radio station. They've been calling you on the phone ever since.
You wouldn't mean the murder in Studio One, would you?
Yeah, that's it. How'd you know?
What studio do you suppose this is?
Is this Studio One? The joke's on me. That's a hot one. Where's the fifth?
On the dead side of the studio, right here.
Dead side? That's a scream. Why do they call it the dead side?
Because sound is dead on that side, of course.
Make a note of that, Minnie.
Hokey doke. That ain't all that's dead on that side, huh? What a gig. I'll have to give that to Winchell.
Well, here's the body, ma'am. We were such a nice fellow then, weren't we?
Well, well. So I rush up here to tell you there's a murder in this studio. The joke's on me. That's a laugh, all right.
Minnie, stop enjoying yourself long enough to find out what's delaying Lieutenant O'Hanrahan and the coroner. Ring up headquarters and ask when they... Nah, never mind. Here they are now.
Well, there's Cameo now. Must have arrived here before we did.
The elementary deduction, my dear Lieutenant O'Hanrahan.
Miss Klopp, this is Dr. Lionel Bumbridge, the coroner.
How do you do?
Miss Minerva Hammersmith, Miss Klopp's secretary.
How do you do, Doc?
And this is Gu Chong, everybody. He's the specialist who solved the Congressional Investigation Committee murder and the incident of the unmitigated boar.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Lieutenant, why did you call me on this case if you got Mr. Gu Chow? Are you auditioning, detective?
Oh, I know Gu Chow's on the case as a consultant. Ain't that right, Gu?
I am. He who keeps the moon from wolves
is ready to catch luck if ever the heavens do fall.
Shall I make a note of that, Camille?
Nah, don't bother. Lieutenant, I'm resigning from the Van Crimp case effective immediately.
He who resigns from case before investigation puts plow before oxen and claws where it does not itch.
What kind of double talk you call that?
Ah, that's strictly from Chinese hunger.
Oh, please don't leave the case, Cameo. You don't want crime to triumph, do you?
Crime don't pay.
Poor Van Crimp. Only last Monday he was...
I'll stick, but it's against my principles.
Good, that's the stuff, Cameo. That's the spirit.
Yeah, well, let's get down to business. What's that paper sticking out of Van Crimp's side pocket?
Got typing on it.
It looks like a commercial announcement.
Well, let me see it, please. Don't forget to remember to insist on the name Fudgy Cream for a real, honest-to-goodness, creamy, delicious, wholesome, tempting, tangy, healthful, different app, mellow, rich, lusciously nourished, and crunchy.
He was supposed to read that tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, well, he's better off this way. Now, Dr. Bumbridge, you've been poking around there long enough. You determined the cause of death?
Oddly enough, the victim was not killed violently. Very strange.
Yeah, it is strange.
The evidence points to strangulation, but there isn't a mark of any kind to indicate the manner of strangulation.
Then you make a note of that.
Okay, Doc.
I take it, Doctor. You completed your examination?
Except for an autopsy.
You're then through for the present?
Yes, ma'am.
But you haven't used your stethoscope to examine the corpse, Dr. Bumbridge. Why is that?
Surely, Miss Klopf, you're joking.
Make a note of that, Minnie. I am not joking, Doctor.
But you know that a coroner never examines stethoscopically. When I arrive, it is not to examine a patient, but a corpse.
Don't hand me platitudes at a time like this, sir. Once again, may I suggest you use your stethoscope?
This is preposterous.
Specifically in the area of the duodenum.
Absolute nonsense. The man is dead.
Why don't you throw as you told, you jerk?
Just leave this to me, Minnie. I'll take care of the smart repartee. You stick to your shorthand.
Okie doke. Just trying to help.
And besides, it's jerk, not joik.
Very well. It will you me you any, Miss Klopf. I will listen to his pulse and respiration, which ceased at least 2 hours ago.
I only yesterday, Van Crimp told me he was going to do the commercial for Miracle Beer. He says to me, Lammy says...
Well, Dr. Brumbridge, what do you hear?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, nothing.
Yeah, well, then why are you so pale?
I am not well, I guess.
Yeah, give me that stethoscope. I'll listen myself. Just as I thought. Lieutenant, listen to this.
No. I can't believe it.
Well, what is it? Don't keep us on tenterhooks.
Why, it's a quartet. They're singing. They're singing music.
What kind of music?
The Boogity Woogity Piggy.
Are they swinging it?
Would the Honorable Mr. Chong care to listen?
Thank you so much. City! He who hear music out of wood should lock bomb door after bomb is stolen.
Are you kidding? Perhaps the estimable Mr. Chong can offer a theory at this point.
Gu Chong jumped to no hasty conclusion. He who jump before he leap beat bush without catching birds.
Give over, Gu. Leave me listen.
Have you an explanation for this, Cameo?
Simple.
Not a singing either. Ida, sweet as apple.
Come away from there, Minnie. Now, it's obvious Van Crimp was murdered by the administration of a dose of the deadly poison Insidium.
Yeah, but how can you tell without an autopsy?
I'm coming to that, Dr. Brumbridge, and when I get there, you'll do well to have an explanation for your strange report of not hearing anything.
But I...
Yes, now Insidium is a newly discovered poison, the effect of which is to choke off the oxygen supply of the blood while... at the same time, producing a mood of profound cynicism in the victim.
Cynicism?
Yeah, you please observe, Van Crimp died with a sneer in his face.
Why, so he did.
But how does that explain the music coming from the duodenum?
Simple. Insidium is a radioactive substance. It gathers in the duodenum and sets up a sort of receiving station for radio waves and other electrical impulses. Acts like a crystal set, you might say.
She knows her stuff, don't she, boy?
Miss Klopf, this poison you speak of is unknown to medical science. Now, how do you...
Quite so, Doctor, because there are only 8 persons in this country who studied it, and I am one of them. I just finished writing a monograph on the subject.
Cameo, I gotta hand it to you. You've solved the mystery.
Yeah, now all we have to do is find a murderer.
Yeah, you certainly...
What's that?
In the meantime, Lieutenant, I suggest you place Dr. Bumbridge under arrest for suspicious conduct.
Now, wait a minute.
Poor Van Crimp.
And also detain Mr. Slope, who's been mourning poor Van Crimp just a little too hard to suit me.
Me too.
But I'm one of the studio maintenance band. I was...
Also, any others who profess to have known Van Crimp intimately.
Hello, everybody. Am I in the right studio? Is this Studio One?
Yeah, what do you want here?
Why, I have an appointment to see Van Crimp, the announcer, and by golly, I see I'm just on time, too.
What's your name?
You mean to say you don't know me? My name is Owen Repel, Thompson tenor, singing nightly at Earl's Place, Route 202, where frolics begin. No cover, no men. And I've got a lot of very flashy, dramatic routines. Young Soper will go anywhere.
Well, where do you think you're going now?
Well, that's a good question. If you ask me, I'm going places. But probably what you mean is getting down to seriousness. Where am I going now?
Right out on your ear.
As a matter of fact, Van Crimp is a great big booster of mine. And really a happy doodle dandy kind of a chap.
That's what he
said. He came out to Earl's Place to get some soft shell crabs that they feature along next to my singing. And he told me not to fail when I was in town next time to drop in on him. So here I am.
You're a good friend of Van Crimp's, are you?
Am I a good friend of his? Why, say, I'd give him the shirt right off my back. Why, he's way up there with the best of them. He's right at the top. He's what I call a crackerjack boy. Why, there's nobody like him.
You mean, he's out of this world?
Right. Right as rain.
Do you, recognize who this is laying on the floor?
Why, absolutely, absolutely. Good old Van Crimp. Tough break. By the way, speaking of breaks, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you folks in the studio a real break. One of the best breaks you've ever had. I see that you folks need a little cheering up, and I'm the guy to do it. Always glad to be of service to my fellow man. Little smile. I tell you, folks, a smile is a great thing to remember. Do you remember that old song? A smile will take you well on the bar.
All right, do your smiling outside. Come on, let's
get
warm.
Now, wait a minute, folks. You're making a big mistake. Madam, you've probably got one good ear.
Yeah, and you're a pain in it. Gone home now.
I can tell you have a dandy ear. Now, get the boy and girl angle of his song. All right, here we go. And glad to do it, too. It was at
the... All right, come on, big outside. Oh, my ears are the worst. I've never heard such one thing.
All right, now we're rid of him, I suggest we all go about our business. There are a number of people I want to see.
Noted.
In the meantime, I suggest Van Crimp be given a decent autopsy and burial so he'll stop receiving Boogly Woogly Piggy and Ida and other programs on the same wavelength.
Ida, sweet as apple cider, sweeter.
Well, boss, here's the evidence you wanted.
Let's see. Now, there were three different programs, either rehearsing or broadcasting, while Van Crimp was in Studio One on the afternoon of the 7th.
The Science Talk by Professor Worthington Trummock.
Adventures of Zazza the Zealous.
And the Rowdy Dowdy Rhythm Girls.
And each must be investigated. In addition, I must see the sponsor of Van Crimp's Snap and Zip variety show, Mr. Plimsoll. I understand he quarreled with Van Crimp the day before he was murdered.
Sure, Plimsoll. His wife died of ptomaine poisoning last year.
Very curious. Put that down, too. Now, first we must see Professor Trummock.
But I tell you, Miss Klopp, I only met the man once.
And that was at a poker game?
Why, yes, to be sure. It was a poker game at his home in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, that's where I live. The land of the free and the home of the Dodgers. When you see our boys next year?
You lost heavily to Van Crimp that night?
Yes, that's true.
And you promised to pay up before November 1st?
Yes.
You also lost the telephone bet in the World Series to him?
Yes.
Now, Professor Frummick, you are a scientist. And you lecture on the radio.
Yes, sir.
You also happen to be one of the 8 persons in this country who knows the secret of insidium.
Well, yes, yes, but I assure
that,
you...
That, Professor, will be all for the present.
So what?
Well, Miss Fothergill, your stories are very imaginative in a macabre sort of a way, aren't they?
Yes.
Ben Crimp once told you publicly that he thought your story stank.
So what?
And you replied he'd feel sorry one day for what he said. You also called him an overbearing snob and a stuck shirt and an exhibitionist who ought to be put out of circulation.
He was. So what?
You accused him of standing around waiting for people to ask for his autograph.
He'd rather sign his autograph than eat.
I'm asking you.
Keep on.
That's what I intend to do.
Listen here, Clop. I'll sue you for disturbing my peace of mind. I'm a busy woman. I'll sue you, too, you little squirt sitting there taking notes of everything I say. You hear me?
Yeah. So what? Sing on the rowdy dowdy rhythm girls program, Miss Cindy?
Yes, I do.
You saw him in the studio the day of...
No! No, I didn't. I didn't see him. I tell you, I didn't.
She says she didn't.
But you saw him the night before.
Yes. We had a party. I was at his home. He was very happy about winning a bet that day. Later, he and I went down to Kelly's Tavern for a drink. He was very boisterous and I quarreled with him.
Well, you quarreled?
No! No, it wasn't what you suspect. It was only...
Was he sober?
Yes, he never drank.
That's all for now, sister. What about that, Mr. Primstone?
No, I'm surprised that you should ask such a question, Miss Clip. I have always enjoyed the most cordial relations with my employees and all those members of my wonderful little family who represent Society Selected Snaps and Zips Manufacturing Company on the Earth. And that includes good old Van Crimp, too. May he rest in peace for life.
But you had sharp words with him.
Oh, I am always surprising my employees with little surprises. Now you take this here. The folks are expecting a bonus this year, but I have got something up my sleeve far better than a bonus. And when they get in step with this thing, they are going to be pepped up good and plenty over. It's what we call the friendly Christmas plan. All an employee has to do is shave his lips that he's issued. That is, of course, providing that he has been with the firm for a minimum of 19 years. And if the slips are okayed by the foreman and the division superintendent, they are then put through the verifier and checked by any competent notary public. Then they are issued to the board, and the employee simply awaits his turn. This is a matter of, I would say, about 10 days or so.
God, this is positively spine-chilling.
Yes, I'm glad you approve it. And then he receives his application pay. By the way, there's just one thing to remember here, Mr. Cupp. You might make a mental note of it. It's a very important detail. That is, they must be sure to sign her name on both sides. Well, then it's simply a matter of a thorough medical examination, and if the employee passes, he's entitled to A, a choice of a half a day off, or B, 0.5% discount on articles purchased at the factory commissary. It may seem a little radical to the more conservative businessmen, but I have found that it always pays to search for methods of establishing warmer relationship between myself and my employees.
There are worse crimes than murder.
Hi.
out of here, Minnie. All the suspects is inside, including Lieutenant O'Hanrahan and the district attorney, if you want to call them suspects.
Stranger things have happened.
You also got Mr. Elwin Rappel. What a smack. He's like a cartoon in the New Yorker. He's like a rare etching by Dumier.
Very well. Never mind the cultural illusions. Let's go in and clear up this mystery.
Okay, boss. Just a second.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Sorry to upset your plans for the evening, but there's a little matter of a murder to clear up, and then you can all go home. All but one. Because the murderer is in this room.
Stop trembling, Mr. Plimsoll. You make the rest of the guests nervous.
Why, I'm afraid I've swallowed my cigar, that's all.
Oh, that's okay. They say ashes is good for the teeth.
If you don't mind, Miss Hammersmith, I'll conduct this investigation.
Okie doke, just trying to help.
If I can be of any help, I'd be mighty glad to do it, too. Glad to do it. Now, for instance, I have another song.
You just sit quiet and continue to pick your teeth. Now, you, Mr. Sloan, you looked upon Van Crimp almost as a son, didn't you?
I loved the boy. Whenever he was in trouble,
I... You know, he had a habit of touching the point of his pencil to his tongue when writing?
Yes. I often urged him to correct that habit. I told him it was unhygienic.
It certainly was. It may or may not come as a surprise to you to learn that Van Crimp died as a result of touching to his tongue a pencil whose point has been dipped in insidium. Well, now, maybe you're right. Now, Miss Pinkney.
No. No, I tell you, I didn't have anything to do with it.
All right, take it easy, Cookie. All she said was, now, Miss Pinkney.
Before Van Crimp went upstairs to Studio One, he was seen signing an autograph for a lot of girls in the lobby of the station.
Yes.
And you were looking on very jealously.
I was furious with him. He was flirting with a girl.
He sure was, a mile a minute.
And you, Miss Pinkney, already angry with him because of his behavior at Kelly's Tavern in Brooklyn the night before, you turned on your heel and stomped out.
She turned on her heel, all right.
No editorial comments, please. Is that true, what I just said, Miss Pinkney?
Yes.
Very well. Now, I am ready to reveal the murderer. Take notes on everything I say, Minnie.
Okey-doke.
The identity of the murderer of Cornelius Van Crimp is Minerva Hammersmith.
What? Are you kidding?
Minnie, a little while ago when I remarked to Miss Pinkney that Van Crimp was flirting with autograph seekers on the day of his death, you remarked that he was.
To coin a phrase, so what?
So what were you doing there?
Observing how the other half lived.
Yeah, I thought so. It was to you I dictated my monograph on insidium. Therefore, you knew the properties of the poison.
Strictly your property, as far as I'm concerned.
And you let slip the opinion that Van Crimp was a heel.
Check.
He lived in Brooklyn, where you lived all your life, and it's known he rooted for the Yankees in the recent World Series, as witness his argument with Rappel and his wager with Crummer.
Go on, you're getting hot.
Van Crimp celebrated on the night of October 6th at Kelly's Tavern. He was delighted because that afternoon the Dodgers had lost to the Yankees when their catcher dropped a third strike on what should have been the last play of the game.
Well, go on. This is strangely fascinating.
Yeah, you were there at the tavern that night.
How do you know that?
Well, it was your only night off in a month.
You're telling me.
Next day, you showed up to work with a new style matchbook from the tavern. You, a loyal Dodger fan, were infuriated because Van Crimp, also a native of Brooklyn, had turned traitor to the team. So next day, you...
This has gone far enough. Yes, I murdered Van Crimp. I picked up Thrummick's pencil, which he left in the restaurant, and dipped it in a jigger of insidium, and then asked Van Crimp for his autograph, and he put it to his tongue, as I've seen him do once.
You did.
Yeah, I murdered him. And I'll do it again, too.
You mean if you meet Van Crimp in some other life?
Anytime, anywhere, including the Bronx.
Minnie, Minnie, why did you do this terrible thing?
Well, boss, I don't mind a Brooklyn citizen rooting for the Yankees. That's bad enough. But I says live and let live. That's my motto.
Yeah, with one notable exception.
But insults,
Insults is another thing. You want to know what Van Crimp said that night at the tavern? He says, them Dodgers are bush leaguers with illusions of grandeur. Yes, he did. And he says, may they go back to the second division where they belong and never rear their ugly heads again. And then he says, and get this, may all their children drop third strikes.
Men. Oh, men, if you only told me.
Well, boss, that's when my gorge begins to rise. He says this also. He says the only way to explain the Dodgers winning the pennant this year is sunspots.
Oh,
sunspots. Mm-hmm. And him, a resident of Brooklyn. And then he says, if it's another 21 years before Brooklyn finishes in the first division, which it will be at least, that'll be too soon for me, he says. Christ, them bums, he says. They never was no good, and they never will be. You wouldn't believe it, but that's what he says.
Ah, oh, the man was a monster.
Well, boss, I knew then that Van Crimp's was a traitor to his country and to mankind. I knew then he'd have to go. It was a far, far better thing I'd done for Brooklyn.
Minnie. Oh, Minnie, I understand and I sympathize. Believe me, it is with reluctance and a heavy heart I turn you over to the district attorney and the grand jury, but I saw my duty and I've done it.
Okay. Boss, I understand. No hard feelings. I guess nobody can ever pull the perfect crime, but I come near it.
Yeah, and I feel certain that no jury in the world will convict you, except possibly in St. Louis, which fortunately has no jurisdiction in this case. Officer Hanrahan, the prisoner is yours.
I am honored to take so distinguished a prisoner into my custody.
Thanks, Flatfoot. Well, things is gonna be different next year. You wait and see.
Yeah, Minnie. Yeah. Things is gonna be different next year.
You've been listening to the Columbia Workshops presentation of Murder in Studio One, written and directed by Norman Corwin as program number 23 in the cycle 26 by Corwin, and starring Ruth Gordon, distinguished actress of radio, stage, and screen, in the role of Cameo Klopp. The role of Minerva Hammersmith, the Brooklyn Patriot, was played by Minerva Pius. And the characters of Elwin Rappel and Mr. Plimsoll were created and performed by Edward Mayhoff. Others in the cast were Alan Drake as Slope, Kenneth Delmar as Dr. Bumbridge, Frank Lovejoy as Lieutenant O'Hanrahan, Peter Gu Chong as Gu Chong, Esther Sundergaard as Father Gill, Anne Shepherd as Miss Pinckney, and Norman Ober as Professor Thrummer. Music was arranged and conducted by Alexander Semler, and the vocalists were the Symphonettes and the Four Clubmen. MacDonald Nyan engineered. Columbia Workshop will return next week this same time with program number 24 of 26 by Corwin. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed the selections this time. If not, dig through the archives at relicradio.com. You'll find past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and if you'd like to help support it all, our donate button. Thank you, as always, to those who have donated. You're keeping this all going. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.